In the height of his NBA basketball professional career, Charles Barkley made a Nike commercial in which he told the world, "I am not a role model." Some of you might remember this. Charles Barkley, professional basketball player, made huge amounts of money, tons of fans. Everybody, not everybody liked him, but everybody knew who he was. And he had the audacity to say, "I'm not a role model. Because I can slam dunk a basketball doesn't make me a role model." At the time, most of us saw right through that. Even now, reflecting on it, it's like, how stupid. Because it doesn't matter whether he thinks he's a role model. It doesn't matter whether he deserves to be a role model. He was a role model. Because people were looking up to him, and he was in a place of influence. And so regardless of his opinion on the fact, he was a role model. Well, guess what, dads? Regardless of whether you want the job or not, regardless of whether you think it's something you're capable of, if you are a dad, no matter what age your kids, young or adults, you are a role model. It is what you signed up for when you became a dad, by God's design. He has designed fatherhood that you might be a role model. And even though it's very intimidating, it's very scary to think about that fact, it's also a great privilege. God has given us a great privilege to be a model for our children when they're young and also when they're old. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. First, out of Galatians chapter 4, we're going to look at a passage there. And then we're going to also flip back to the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1. So if you want to put one of your little bookmarks there or keep a finger there, we're going to be in both the New and the Old Testament today, looking at how God has called fathers to be role models. Before we do, though, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer and ask for the Holy Spirit's help as we look at God's Word. Father, I thank you that you have given us your Word so that we have, as Glenn said earlier, a roadmap. You have shown us right and wrong. You have shown us what true love looks like. You have shown us what you want for us. And I pray this morning as I speak and as I try to preach and proclaim what is in this Word, that I wouldn't do it in my own strength, Lord, but that you would help me to teach your truth. And then help every one of us to open up our hearts to receive it gladly, not begrudgingly, but that we would rejoice at hearing your word. And Lord, we know we will fall short of it, but there's also a word of grace in there. Lord, help us to receive the encouragement and the grace this morning. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Now, what I'm about to say, given our current culture and just debates that are happening publicly, could be misunderstood, and I'm asking you to wait it out and listen to what I have to say. Even when, as I mention the word, you're going to go, "Oh, okay, now I know why he's treading lightly here." God does not have gender. All right, so for a few of you, like, even the word gender, it's like, uh-oh, where is he going with this? It's biblical. God does not have gender. God is unique. He's the only one like him. I use him because that's how he's revealed himself, but God himself does not have gender. See, gender is something that God made, and it's something that's good, and he has given it to his creation. And so animals and humans, we have gender, but God doesn't. So God is not a man. Nor is God a woman. God is not a father in the way that I am a father, biologically. But in his wisdom and in his understanding and in his purposes, God has chosen to reveal himself to us as father. And it's not an accident. God has intentionally revealed himself as father. Now, why would he do that? Why would he call himself and refer to himself as the Father? Well, I believe one of the main reasons that he has done this is to show us something about himself, to reveal his character and to reveal some of his traits. See, God created fatherhood so that then as we exist and grow and we're in families and it takes a mother and a father and we have kids and we have families, we have a built-in picture that is meant to teach us about God himself. And so when he refers to himself as father, There's a whole lot that he wants wrapped up in that picture for us to understand. So I want to start this morning by looking at Galatians 4 and just seeing some of the things it means to say God is Father. God is our Father, as we prayed, our Father who art in heaven. That's what Jesus told us and taught us to pray. So God reveals himself as Father. What are some of the character traits of God as our Father? Just looking in Galatians chapter 4, in these few verses, we see several of them come to the surface. And the first one is that we see God's love. Because he chose to adopt us. He didn't have to. He chose to call us into his family. To make us his sons and daughters. God showed his love by choosing to say, I love you and I want you in my family. God's love is shown to us in that he doesn't keep himself away. He invites us into his family. I was reminded as I was thinking about this of a friend's house where I grew up, a friend that I had when I was growing up. He kind of had one of those households where it seemed like everybody just gathered there. And his mom and dad were there a lot, especially his mom. But it was like everybody who came through the door, they were like family. And they were welcome there. That's a little bit of the image, only I want you to multiply it 1,000 times over, that God has the household and he says, I don't want an empty house. I love you and I want you all to come over to my house and be in this family. We see his love for us and that he's adopted us into his own family. We also see the characteristic that should characterize fathers as well. We see his sacrifice. I've talked with many people who didn't have the greatest dad. But actually, even in many of the households that I've heard of where the dad wasn't that great of a dad for various number of reasons, I've also heard a lot of people say, but he always worked hard to make sure we had what we needed. And he would work long hours and he would sacrifice for him his own wishes and desires to make sure the family had what they want. There's a picture there of a God who is willing to sacrifice. And so we see that God himself sacrificed when he gave us his son. Verse 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. He sent forth Jesus, his unique, only begotten, if you remember the old King James way of saying it in John 3:16, his unique son Jesus. He gave him as a sacrifice for our sins. He sacrificed his own son. And again, that song, this idea that he turned his face away from him while Jesus was hanging on a cross, paying for our sins, that tore the Father's heart out. He didn't rejoice in that in the moment in the sense of, I'm so glad that I can do this. No, it broke his heart. He sacrificed, but he was willing to do that. So that first thing I said, where we could all be in his family, could be a reality. So as a father, he has made great sacrifice for us. He protects us. We see his protection. You know the word redeem? It says that he came, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law. I thought of the movie, and I don't recommend this movie. I saw it probably 20 plus years ago, but Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And in this movie, his daughter was kidnapped. And he does everything he needs to get his daughter back. He redeems her. He rescues her. That's the kind of father we have. We have rebelled. We have been enslaved by sin. We have turned our backs on him, and so we're separated from him. But he's not content with that. He does not want that situation. And so he has sacrificed out of his great love to rescue us. It's his way of protecting his own. He looks out for us and cares for us, and so he protects us by redeeming us or rescuing us. When evil would seek to destroy us, he has stepped in the way, and he has rescued and protected us from our own sin, from death, and from Satan. So we see a father who's protective, who protects his children. We also see his provision. A father should provide for his children to the best of his ability, to make sure they have the things that they need. And how does God the Father do that for us? Well, one is we've seen that he sent his son, but he also made the provision of the Holy Spirit. And so we read here in Galatians chapter 4, it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts." God has provided what we need to be able to live the life He's called us to. He provided the forgiveness and redemption in His Son, and He's provided power and strength and wisdom and direction and guidance and comfort and encouragement through sending us the Holy Spirit. See, He is a Father who provides for us the things that we need. He knows that we can't do this on our own. And He doesn't just say, go figure it out, good luck. No, He says, let me provide for you the exact thing you need. I want to give you my very Spirit, the Spirit of my Son. So He provides. This is a God who provides. We also see a God who is tender. Probably too lacking for many households. A Father who is tender. Where do I see that here in this passage? Well, when He sends us the Spirit, it's a Spirit that stirs in our heart the ability to call God Daddy. It says He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts crying, Abba. That's an Aramaic word. That's the language that Jesus and Paul would have grown up speaking as their native language. And Abba simply means Daddy. Papa. Abba. You can even hear it how a baby's first words might come out. Abba, Abba, Abba. Daddy. This is a tender Father that we have who empowers us, enables us, gives us the right to call Him Daddy. That's a picture of tenderness. There are a few places in the Scripture where God uses illustrations and metaphors that are motherly and feminine, such as a mother hen who's gathered up her chicks. There's a tenderness that God has. Even as our Father, He is a tender figure. And then lastly, we see His graciousness. And by that, I mean He gives to us things we don't deserve. A good parent, a good dad, provides things for their kids, but also gives them things that they don't earn or don't deserve. Even though kids don't realize this, they don't, like, earn their birthday gifts. those are given to them. Now, they think it's a right, hey, I'm a year old, you owe me a birthday gift. The reality is that's a gift of grace, giving to them things that they don't deserve. Our Father has given us many things we don't deserve, including an inheritance. See, the thing about an inheritance is you don't earn an inheritance. It is what is given to you. Somebody else has earned it, and they are passing it along to you. God gives us an inheritance. And you see that at the end. He says, you're no longer slaves. You're no longer just like an employee. I worked for one of the Forbes' richest men named Bill Gross. And I was an employee, but that didn't give me a right to an inheritance that he has. He gives that to his children. And I think his ex-wife, unfortunately. But that's neither here nor there. That's not for the employee. That's not for the slave. It's for the children. And so we, when we are adopted into his family, he graciously gives us an inheritance. He makes us heirs. Not errors, E-R-R-O-R. Heirs, H-E-I-R. In other words, he has provided for us a future and a hope graciously, freely, given to us. Not earned by us, given to us out of his grace. This is the kind of Father that we have. And you see, God created fatherhood so that dads, imperfectly as we may do it, dads are a picture of that Heavenly Father. God has called us. Dad, you stand. This is scary. This is frightening to me. But the reality is, Dad, you stand in the place of God for your kids. It's almost impossible for a child to think of God and not think of Dad. I think he's just hardwired into us. And then especially if they've been exposed at all of the Scriptures or hear the Lord's Prayer or anything like that, Father, dads, you are supposed to be this model for your kids of what God's own character is, what His love for us looks like. So let your kids see the character of God in you. Love them. Sacrifice for them. Protect them. Provide for them. Show them tenderness. Be gracious and giving toward them. When we do, we give them a good, healthy picture of what their Heavenly Father is like. So we're called as role models. Whether you like it or not, you are a role model to model God's character for your own family, for your kids. But you know, dads also model sonship. They model what it looks like to be a good child of God. You see, God has given us fatherhood for modeling his character, but also so that we can show our children what it looks like to be a child of God. And to help us understand how we model that, I want to encourage you to turn over to Joshua. Let's go to the Old Testament and look at Joshua chapter 1. Now, this is not a passage that directly relates to fatherhood, but there's so many good nuggets in here for men, for dads, and I would say for everybody, but I think it resonates with guys here, that this is a picture of what it looks like to be a child of God. And we're to show our kids how to do that, how to be a son or daughter of God. So when we look at Joshua chapter 1, let me read to you verses 1 through 9, but I'll set the scene just for a real quick moment. Last week we looked at the end of Joshua. After he had led the people of Israel, he was God's appointed leader to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Last week we saw at the end he had done that. He had been faithful to the calling. God had enabled him to do it. And now he challenged the people of Israel and said to them, I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now we're stepping back to the beginning, before they had conquered the land that God had given them. They're on the precipice of war. They're getting ready to go in and conquer a land that God said, I'm giving it to you. But that must have been a scary moment, because they haven't yet had the battles, and they're having to take God's word for it. But listen to what God tells Joshua, who's about to lead the people. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then he will make your way prosper, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There are so many good nuggets in here, and I just want to pull out three good truths in here of what it looks like to be a true child of God, so that we as dads and moms can model this for our children, whether they're little or even if they're adults, we can still show them what it looks like to be a child of God. And the first thing is that we are called to trust God because he is with you. To be a child of God is to trust that God is always with you and that you can take him at his word. And so Joshua is given all these promises and he says, but it's rooted in the fact that I'm going to be with you the whole time. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never turn my back on you. You know, when children are scared, most of the time the only thing they actually really need for those fears to be relieved is your presence. Right? This, like, they cry out and they, you know, scared, maybe they had a bad dream and it's dark. All you have to do is walk in there and they finally feel that relief. That's why they don't want you to leave, too. Because your presence is calming. That's the kind of trust relationship God has called us to. He has said, I am with you. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. And so when we can model that for our kids, that we trust God, they can learn to trust God. They'll see it in us. That's what we're called to model, is this idea that God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to obey it because God has said it. When we can trust God and leave our worries on the side, at the doorstep there, then we instill that same trust in our kids. And my hope and prayer, you all right? Everything good? All right, my hope and prayer is that indeed my kids will see in me somebody who trusts God so that they never even think to question God. Right? I've heard some parents, and I understand where they're coming from. I don't think it's right, but I've heard some parents say, well, I don't want to push this on my kids because I want them to decide for themselves. That's not a good idea for parenting. I want to show my kids what it really looks like, so much so that they never think to do anything other than trust the Father in heaven who loves them completely. Do I want them to think and know and understand and investigate? Of course. But I want them to always be from a place that says, but we know God is good and we trust him. Well, they're not going to know that inherently. They have to see it in me and see it in our household and in our family. So that's the first thing that it means to be a child of God, is to trust him because he's with us. And so we don't have to be anxious and worried. If the kids see an anxious, worried dad, they don't see a dad that's resting in trust in him. Secondly, as a child of God, we're called to meditate on and obey God's word. To meditate on and obey God's words. You know, dads need wisdom. You don't have to be a genius to be a dad, but you need wisdom. You need to understand what's right and wrong and how to do it. Well, thankfully, God has given us this word. He has shown us. Mary Ellen, I love you. You want to take a little break? Maybe you... Thank you. We love you, Mary Ellen. Love you. Thank you. I do love Mary Ellen. And I love that she is a part of our family. So, amen for that. But I have important words. I want you to hear them. We're called to meditate on this thing. Dads, your kids need to see you reading. They need to see you in it daily. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to be a dad. You don't have to know everything about this book. You don't have to have all the answers. What you do need to do is be a man who says, this is where I start, and let the kids see it. And then let them see how it transforms you. Because it doesn't just say, meditate on it, get it up here, but it says, be careful to do everything that is in it. And don't turn to the left or turn to the right. That image made me think of a highway, like an interstate highway, because I've done quite a bit of driving. I've driven across country multiple times. When I was growing up, we would drive from California to Texas often. And highways, a lot of times, these big interstate highways, they're raised up, and there's like ditches on both sides. And Satan would love for you to fall in a ditch. And he doesn't care whether it's a ditch on the right or a ditch on the left. Just fall in a ditch. But God has told us, be careful to go straight ahead on the things I have told you. Don't turn to the right, because what happens? There's a ditch. Your car will crash and you will die. Don't turn to the left, because there is a ditch and there's a car there and you will crash. There's a ditch there and your car will crash. Stay straight ahead. So he says, I'm telling you what's right. I'm telling you what's wrong. I'm telling you what I desire for you. If you want to see great success, follow this. So Joshua was commanded. Dads are commanded to meditate on this word and then to do it. Your kids don't need to see you as a Bible scholar. They need to see you as somebody who goes to the Word of God every day. And they're going to absorb that. And it's going to be natural. And they're going to not think it's weird. Now, some of them might think it's weird if you've never done it before, and then you start doing it. But you know what? After a little while, they're going to start seeing changes, and they're going to like those changes. So it's never too late. If that's not been your habit, you don't go, well, you know, I didn't get that start, so I'm not going to start now. Start today, and they'll begin to see the changes, the effect it has when you're in this Word every day. He's given us the wisdom. You're going to start to impart it to your kids. You're going to start to live it out. They're going to like those changes. So that's the second thing. What it means to be a son of God, a child of God, is to trust Him, to meditate on His Word, and to live it out. And lastly, to be strong and courageous. He says that three different times here. Be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be very courageous. Did I not command you? Be strong and courageous. Just in case you thought the record was broken, nope, it's not on loop. He's saying it over and over. But strength here has nothing to do with muscles. We can't all have these guns, okay? I understand that. That's a joke. Yes. It's not about muscle strength. Even for Joshua, who was getting ready to fight a literal war, the kind of strength he was talking about was not the kind of strength that it takes to do hand-to-hand combat. Because in fact, when God called them to war, God did the fighting for them. God gave them success. He's talking about a strength of character, a strength of who you are in your inner person. And the kind of strength, I think, the picture of this strength that I see is one who doesn't fall to pieces when adversity comes. Joshua was going to face some scary, nasty battles. And he couldn't fall to pieces when things got tough. The kind of strength that he was to have, a strength that can only come from God, was one that says, you know what, that is hard. The kind of courage he's called him to is not one that says, I'm not afraid, but one that says, I'm afraid, but I'm going to still do what's right. That's the kind of being strong and courageous that dads are called to show their kids. That if I believe God, if I trust Him, if He's really with me, I will take that strength and I will walk into a scary situation. Or I'll take on the responsibility. I'm not afraid of it, even though it's hard. That's the kind of strength and courage that God calls us to. And even though it doesn't have to do with muscle strength, I did think of weightlifting. Because, you know, in weightlifting, just whether it's for yourself or in competition or anything like that, when you lift weights, that's when you prove your strength. It's not just saying it, but it's your actions, right? So when you actually lift. Last service, I wasn't thinking about it, and I just said, you lift. And she's like, you don't lift like that. I know. You keep that back straight. Lift. When you lift, you show your strength. But you know what's interesting? You show the strength you have, but you also increase your strength. As you lift weights, you get stronger. Dads, as you show the little strength you might feel like you have, maybe you don't feel like you have a lot of strength, and you start exercising the little strength you have. Take those steps of courage, and it will grow. You'll get stronger in your inner man. You will become a stronger man, but not if you sit on the couch and never step into the fray. But if you are willing to take on the responsibility, you'll get stronger. He'll build up your courage. So be strong and courageous. Our children, whether they're boys or girls, young or old, need to see a dad who's strong and courageous, who keeps it together, who bears the weight, who does what's right even when it's scary. And that inspires and instills character into your children. That shows them what a true child of God looks like. And that's what we're called to. Now listen, that's a high calling. It's a scary calling. And no dad in this room, no dad in this country, no dad in the world can do it on their own. And God never intended for us to do it on our own. I call it fatherhood by grace. The only way we can be the fathers that we were called to be is by God's grace. He has made provision for the fact that we failed. There's not a father here who hasn't let their kids down in various ways. We know that. We fail in our fatherhood, but our Heavenly Father made provision for that. First of all, He provided His own Son, that where we have fallen short, He has paid for those sins. If you have failed as a father, you don't have to carry around a burden of guilt and shame. Instead, you can confess it to the Lord and experience it wiped away. He's made provision for the fact that we fail as dads, we fail as people. He's also made provision to give us the power from this day forward to be the God, the dad that he has called us to be the man that he wants us to be. He has sent his Holy Spirit, a provision that he has given to us that we might be the dads and men and women and moms and employees and bosses and church members and community members that he has called us to be. You can't do it on your own, but he has provided for us. So don't let your fears or your failures paralyze you. Well, I can never be that dad, so I guess I won't try at anything. Of course you can't be that dad perfectly, because you're called to model the only true God. And none of us can do that. But he can provide the strength you need to take steps in that direction. And he can provide the forgiveness you need to not be weighed down by the failures of your past. Let God redeem those. You know what? God wants to show even your family and your kids how he can redeem a mess. And so if you're a mess, he wants to redeem you and let your family see it. So this morning, I want to challenge and encourage the dads. The encouragement is this. You have a Heavenly Father. I have no idea what your dads were like. I was blessed with a good one. But he was still flawed. Well, I have a good dad. You may have had a terrible dad. But even in that terrible dad, something in your heart knew what a real dad should be like. What a real dad should be. Because God's put that in our hearts. He made fatherhood. And I encourage you today to say, like Joshua last week, maybe our fathers worshiped these gods and went that way. But today, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And God can forgive the junk of the past, and he can empower you for a future. And the last thing I'll say is this is true no matter what age your kids are. You never stop being dad. And so you still have an influence. You're still a role model. It's different when they're 8 than when they're 38. But you're still in their lives. You still have a way to be a role model. And so it's never too late to start being the dad God has called you to be. And if you've been okay at it, then give God praise today. And celebrate Father's Day and enjoy what he's given to you, but also look forward to what he's called you to in the future. Amen?
Amen. Amen.